Well, what's the current state of religious belief and practice here in Australia? And how does it shape our attitude to politics, family, life and work? They're huge questions, but the Christian Research Association hasn't shied away from trying to answer them. The association has used a combination of data, including from the most recent census, to put together a picture of the believer and the unbeliever in our country. Its latest book is Life, Ethics and Faith in Australian Society. Andrew West is speaking with one of the co-authors, the principal researcher at the association, the Reverend Dr. Philip Hughes.
There's about 25% of Australians who have no doubts about the existence of God, for example. There's another 25% of Australians who are not sure. Sometimes they believe with doubts. Then there's another 25% approximately who believe that there is some sort of higher being up there. And then there's those people who really don't know or don't believe at all.
And the numbers of Christians is about 61%. But of course, you say that includes people that you might describe as cultural Christians, not necessarily affirming or believing Christians.
About half of the population has some sort of belief, but it was 15% of the population who actually attend a church monthly or more often. Nearly 60% of Australians say that faith gives them some sort of values for living.
Now, which faiths are growing and which are receding?
Most of the faiths that are growing through immigration are experiencing further growth. So Buddhism, the fastest growing is in fact Sikhism. Hinduism is growing very rapidly. Islam is growing somewhat. And most of the Christian denominations are stable or in decline, with a few of them growing faster than the population growth.
In decline as a percentage, but not numerically. That's very interesting.
That's certainly true with some, yes. The population's growing faster, but they're not quite keeping up with that, but still growing in numbers.
And Christian denominations that are growing and receding, the once mighty Church of England or the Anglicans, I think 40% of the population after World War II, now about 15 to 17%.
Yes, that's right. 17% of the population now, yes.
And who's growing among the Christian denominations?
The fastest growth is amongst the Oriental Orthodox denominations, such as the Coptic Orthodox and some of the other denominations that have their roots in the Middle East and are continuing to experience growth through immigration. But then there is some growth amongst the Seventh-day Adventists and the Baptists, but they too are growing through immigration. The Pentecostals have been holding their own just in terms of the population. They've been growing in numbers, but not in terms of percentage.
Let's talk about who is having children, because the way I read your report, Catholics, Anglicans, mainstream Protestants all have very similar sized families. In fact, the age of the big Catholic family, that appears to be over, a thing of the past.
Certainly the size of the Catholic family is now no larger than that of others in the population. But there are certainly some groups which are having much larger families. The standout is the Brethren. Latter-day Saints have very large families. Muslims do. And there's a tendency for the evangelical and Pentecostal churches to have larger families than some of the mainstream denominations, so the Baptists and the Churches of Christ and so on.
Do we know what the basis of this change in family growth is, particularly among the Catholics? I mean, a generation or so ago, you had your six and seven kids in a Catholic family and you put one in the priesthood if you were lucky, as in inverted commas. What's changed there, Philip?
Part of it, I think, is that Catholics are operating now very much more in terms of their personal conscience in relation to contraception and family size, rather than believing that all contraception is wrong, as has been the official teaching of the Church. Mm. We also have to take into account that a very large portion of the population are Catholic, but a comparatively few percent percentage of the Catholic are actually active within the Catholic Church and are thus maintaining some of the teachings and the ideas of the Church. There is a tendency that comes through the data that where there are high levels of church involvement, there is also larger families. And that goes back to the fact that a number of people who attend church attend because it affirms their values in the life of the family and in their focus of life on the family.
On premarital sex, most Catholics and Protestants, 55 to 60%, say it's okay versus 66% of the total population. So not a big gap there. So there has been some liberalisation on the questions of sex.
Yes, there has. It's interesting, however, that the population as a whole and attenders have moved the other way in relationship to extramarital sex. So while there's more liberalisation in terms of people living together before they're married, the population as a whole is less happy about people sharing partners after they're married.
And would that apply equally to those who support same-sex relationships?
I think it does. I think there's been some significant changes in attitudes there. Homosexual relationships are seen as being a form of committed relationship. Mm. There are many who feel that promiscuity in that area is unacceptable.
Finally, you alluded to this earlier, on the question of political views. Those who attend church and other religious institutions more regularly, they're more inclined to support higher taxes and public spending. Very similar, by the way, to a study in the UK.
That's right. Yes, even though they will vote for the political parties that don't want so much tax or and want smaller government. Mm.
What accounts for that seemingly contradictory position? That you like the Labour Party's welfare policies, but you don't vote for them?
Again, I think that the overriding factor for many is the importance of family life. That's part of the reason why they're in the church, why they maintain their involvement in church life. And they vote for the parties which they see as endorsing the traditional structures of family life. And other things then become secondary in their voting intentions.
That's Dr. Philip Hughes, the Reverend Dr. Philip Hughes, who's the co-author of Life, Ethics and Faith in Australian Society, speaking with Andrew West. Philip Hughes is from the Christian Research Association. Well, that's about it for the program in this episode. If you want to go to our website, you can go to the Religion and Ethics Report homepage on the RN website and download all of the stories here. You can leave a comment if you want to make one. Thanks to producer Scott Spark and to technical producer Luke Purse.